So, kiddos, if you want to come down, I'm going to read you guys a story. And then I had suckers for afterwards, but I may not have enough because there's so many of you guys. Wow. All right, feel free to grab a seat on any of these steps here if you want.
Because I'm back here again.
Yeah. All right. We all comfortable? Getting there? Yeah. Almost? Okay. So this story is called God Gave Us Easter. Okay? And bear with me as I'm reading upside down. Kind of. So, I love Easter, little cub said. Me too, Papa Bear said. It's even better than Christmas. Better than Christmas? Why? Because on Christmas, we celebrate Jesus' birthday. But on Easter, we remember we get to be with him forever. Forever? Forever. That's why God gave us Easter. See all the bears? I like the Easter bunny, cried little cub, his little sister. And candy, added little cub's little brother. The Easter bunny is like Santa, Papa Bear said. He reminds us of gifts and happy surprises in the morning. But God is the one who gave us Easter. Easter is part of a bigger story he had in mind for a long, long time. How did God give us Easter, Papa? See this egg? Papa Bear said. It's a symbol. Yeah, Hadley, it's a symbol. Helping us to remember, just like the shell cracks open and a chicken comes out, we remember that Jesus was in a tomb, but he did not stay dead, right? Bye, Hadley. He didn't. No, even death couldn't trap God's son. He is life itself, and God loved us so much, he wanted us to be with him always. We can see signs of his Easter plan all around us. Little Cub and Papa went on a hike. They found a big tree that had fallen over in a storm. Y'all see it? God told his people that Jesus would come from one family, the root of Jesse. He was called. Jesse and his wife had children, and they had children, and they had children, right? And one of them was Jesus, guys. Yes, little cub, all along, God knew he would give us Easter. It's sad this big old tree fell down and died, little cub said. Yes, Papa said. But when it did, it made room for new little trees to grow. You see how the sun is shining now without those big branches to block it? And how all the pine cones fell across the forest floor. These pine cones will spread their seed and baby trees will grow like this one. You see them? Out of death comes life. That's how God wants us to see Easter. I still don't like dying. Neither do I. We're born to love life. God loves life. But sometimes we have to let go of one thing so we can move on to another. For instance, think about this river. You see, I see the river? Where do rivers go, little cub? To the ocean. Little cub loved the ocean. Yes, the river ends, but it spreads into something even bigger. Heaven is like the ocean for us. Because God gave us Easter, we can be a part of something bigger. And even though we talk to Jesus now, in heaven we will see Jesus face to face. Couldn't Jesus have just waited for us in heaven? A long time ago, God's children wouldn't listen to him. They didn't even believe him anymore. It made God very sad and angry, so he sent a huge flood to start anew with Noah and his family. In the ark with polar bears, right? So they were in the ark, guys. And giraffes and monkeys and turtles. And when the flood was done, God promised never to send another one. When little cub said with relief, "That's good." Little cub liked water, but she liked land too. It's good. After the flood, God gave us a rainbow as a sign of his promise. But when his children had said they'd follow him, were disobedient again, he had to find a way to keep us connected once and for all. God wants nothing more than to be close to us, his children. So, Jesus keeps the promise we broke, little cub. And because of him, God forgave us when we make bad choices. All of us. Everyone who believes in him, that's how God gave us Easter. Do you talk to Jesus, Papa? Every day, Papa Bear said. All day. Does he talk back? In a way, it's like he whispers in my heart. In your heart? I thought we listened with our ears. We do, but here, Jesus, it takes a special kind of listening. Little cub was silent for the rest of the walk home. She was trying to listen with her heart. She listened and listened and listened. That night, as Papa and Mama tucked her into bed, she was still listening. And as her parents kissed her and hugged her, she turned over and remembered she was God's child too. In that moment, she felt comfy and cozy and cared for, almost as if Jesus had whispered, "I love you," in her heart. Sorry. "I love you too, Jesus," little cub whispered. "Thanks for giving us Easter." The next morning, little cub said, "Papa, I think I heard God last night." "You did?" he said, putting his arm around her. "Well, that's the best Easter present ever. What'd he say?" "He said, 'I love you.'" Those are good words, perfect words, and they really are what Easter is all about. The end. So, we can remember, guys, what Easter is all about. Is it about Easter eggs? No. But the Easter eggs help us remember what Jesus did for us on the cross. Okay? That's all I got for you as my voice is going out, as I'm about to preach, so we'll see how that goes. I do have suckers if you guys want a sucker.
If you run out, and you do have enough of those.
If you want, I already had a sucker.
Mm-hmm. You already had a sucker?
Yeah. And
you don't want two? You can give it to a friend.
Do you have one, one of Dominic's? Do you have another one of those?
Nope.
Do you want a bracelet?
All right. If you didn't get a bracelet, you can see Miss Davis after the service. Okay. That may have been a very bad idea, but we'll see. So we have been fighting allergies for weeks. And mine decided to flare up this morning as I woke up and... But hopefully, God will see me through, and I believe that. Well, before we start, I kind of just want to open us up in prayer this morning, so join with me. Jesus, we are so thankful for today, Lord. I pray as I share this message that you will just guide my words and help us to have open hearts and open minds to receive what you have for us today. We thank you in your wonderful name. Amen. Okay. So, what Easter gives us, that's what we're talking about this morning. Easter is a great time to remember And it's a very important occasion for us as believers. And we're going to look at some of those aspects this morning about what Easter does give us. We're going to be in Romans today. So if you want to go in and turn there, we're going to be all throughout Romans. So if you just want to turn to Romans 1, that's where we're going to start this morning. But as you turn there, and as I turn there, I'm going to start us off with a little story, a little short story this morning. So there's a story about that happened just after World War II, okay? Art, you may remember the... Oh, he's not in here. Come on, Art. Here he is. So, Art, this story happens with just after World War II, so you may remember it quite well. There was a preacher, and his name was William Sangster. Okay? He came down with a disease that gradually paralyzed him, his body. Eventually, it led to his vocal cords, and his vocal cords ended up being paralyzed. Well, on Easter Sunday, and this happened to be his last Easter Sunday here on earth, his daughter came to visit. Using a stiffened finger, he scribbled his message to her. And this is what he said. Sorry. He said, "How terrible to wake up on Easter and have no voice with which to shout. He is risen." Then pausing a moment, he added, "But it is even worse to have a voice and not want to shout." So you and I should feel like shouting today because this is Easter, right? And Christ has risen from the dead. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But what does that mean for us today in the 21st century? Sorry. Well, the answer is really found in the book of Romans. And that's what we're going to look at today. It is Paul's greatest declaration of the Christian faith here. We see three times in Romans, the Apostle Paul refer to the great result of Easter. Okay? He says that Easter confirmed Christ's identity. Okay? Easter concealed sin's penalty. And because of Easter, we can celebrate eternal life. So, you can see Easter has a lot to give us as Christians. And we can remember that as men and women of Jesus Christ, we can remember that Easter gives us so much. The resurrection of Jesus is the very heart and soul of the gospel. In simple terms, the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. The resurrection was so important to the early church that it became their message to the world. So, we're going to look at these three points here. And the first one is Easter gives us confirmation of Christ's identity. I'm very sorry. Whew. Okay. So, Easter gives us confirmation of Christ's identity. It really, in essence, proves who he is. Right? We see Paul begins his letter to the Romans with a significant reference to Easter. And let's read that this morning. Romans 1, 1 through 4. It says, "Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scripture concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God, with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead." So this passage really answers a couple very important questions. The first question is, how do we know Jesus Christ was truly human, that he was truly a man, right? Paul answers that with saying, we know because he descended from the seed of David. And that's very important for us. You can trace his lineage right back to the great king of Israel, King David, right? It's right there in the genealogy given in the first chapter of Matthew. He was the descendant of a historical king, and as such, he was spoken of in the Old Testament prophecy, which is when it said that the Messiah will sit upon the throne of David, okay? And then again in the New Testament, Jesus is also called the Son of David. The second question is, how do we know he was truly divine, right? That he was God. Well, Paul answers this as well. He says that the resurrection verified it, right? You see, the resurrection did not make him the Son of God. It simply revealed who he already was, right? His resurrection proves that he was accurate when he said in John 8:23, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. You see, Jesus came from heaven to earth, church, and he lived as a man. He came to save mankind through his death on a cross. Along the way to the cross, he walked the dusty roads of Palestine, teaching his disciples and doing many wonderful things. There's many stories throughout the Gospels that we can see. But the days of walking along the dusty roads in Israel are over now, right? He has come back from the dead and in the mighty power. So, let's look at the second result of Easter. That is that it gives us the cancellation of sin's penalty. Okay? Sorry. When talking about the righteousness of Christ, church, Paul had this to say in Romans 4:24-25. I'll let you turn there real quick before I read that. Romans 4:24-25. So, Romans 4:24-25 says, it, which is referring to the righteousness of Christ, shall be imputed or assigned to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses, and was raised because of our justification. Christ's death as God's sacrificial lamb was to pay the redemptive price for the sins of all people, right? So that God might be free to forgive those who respond by faith to that provision. Christ's resurrection was the proof or the demonstration for us of God's acceptance of Jesus' sacrifice. So what was his sacrifice? It was him dying on the cross. That was the sacrifice. But the resurrection is God's acceptance of Jesus' sacrifice. Thus, because he lives, church, God can credit his provided righteousness to the account of every person who responds by faith to that offer. Okay? Now, that can be kind of hard to follow, so I'm going to describe it a little bit differently. So at Calvary, our sins were put on Christ's account. Or another way to explain it, what took place is to say that, sorry, we had run up a debt of sin, but you know what? Jesus paid that debt, Okay? And the other things that happen when you trust Christ is that God puts Christ's righteousness on his account. On our account, sorry. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Jesus lived a sinless life, right? Therefore, he has righteousness in the eyes of God. And when we place our faith in him, something happens, right? We receive his righteousness by God giving it to us. It's a gift. There isn't a thing anyone can do to become clothed with God's righteousness. There's nothing we can do except have faith in Jesus Christ as his Savior from sin. So, let's go to the third point, which is the last point. And that is the result of Easter is that it gives us the celebration of life eternal, right? Turn with me to Romans 8. We're going to look at verse 11. So Romans 8:11 says, "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." Sorry. So what Paul is saying here, church, is that all men die, right? Because they're human. Sin came into the world, and along with sin came death, which is the result of sin. Therefore, all men eventually die, but the man who has Christ in his Spirit will what? Will one day rise again. You see, the Christian is one in Christ. The child of God on his way to eternal life. Death is only a brief interlude that has to be passed through on our way. Now, Christ died and rose again, and the man who is one with Christ is one with death's conqueror and shares in that victory. We are essentially, church, connected to Jesus by his resurrection. We actually share the life of Christ somewhat like a limb that's grafted into a tree shares the life of the tree. I don't know if you've ever seen that happen where they graft something into something else. It's very interesting, and thank you for the internet that I can watch videos like that. But it's very interesting to see it happen. We see in John 11:25, which I have on the screen, 25 through 26, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. So you want to know what happened when Jesus died? Well, Satan believed he had defeated him. Satan had believed that he had defeated Jesus when he died on the cross. But that opinion, church, only lasted 3 days. Because the resurrection, it conquered sin. And death gave Satan a knockout blow, right? When the shepherd boy David knocked out the giant Goliath with a stone from his slingshot, he rushed over to the fallen giant and took his head off. Well, you know what? Jesus did the same with Satan. Using the devil's own weapon, death, he defeated him. Okay? Hebrews 2:14-15 says, "That through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who thought through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. It was necessary, church, for Christ to die in order for him to destroy the power of fear and death, right? That doesn't mean that Satan is defeated. The death of Satan has destroyed him. However, it's made him ineffective to believers. Okay? Through his resurrection, Christ broke the hold which Satan possessed over men. These bodies that you and I have will be put into the grave one of these days, unless the Lord comes back before then. However, the Holy Spirit is our assurance that our bodies will be raised one day. We are given the Holy Spirit of God as the first installment of the life to come, right? We can enjoy a foretaste of what eternal life is going to be like. We can experience that here on earth. Because Christ has raised from the dead, we shall be raised from the dead. The Holy Spirit will deliver us from the body of this death, this old nature. As I close this morning, I conveniently want to share about Pilgrim's Progress. And I know there's a group of you guys going through Sunday school right now, Pilgrim's Progress, and if you're not in that class, I'll give you a little crash look at it real quick. But so, Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. It tells a remarkable story of a man who set out from the city of destruction, right? He was hoping to journey toward the celestial city. As he trudged out of town beginning his journey, he bore a heavy burden on his back. What it was doing was weighing him down. It was a burden of sin and guilt, okay? But then the pilgrim met a man named Evangelist, right? Who pointed him in the right direction. Coming to a hill called Calvary, the pilgrim knelt at the cross. The burden, it says, it fell from his back, rolled down the hill, and disappeared forever into the empty tomb. Okay? As I close us this morning, and as Mel comes up for us, sir, our closing song, all of us carry a heavy load of sin, church, until we give it to Jesus. Okay? And we have to do that continually as we go throughout our life. We have to remember that we have to lay down that sin at Jesus' feet. Because of Easter, we can receive a new spiritual life, right? We can be born again. Easter gives us everything our hearts and minds need, okay? All of it is for ours for the taking, for us to believe, for us to accept. And the key word is us. Each and every one of us have to make that decision, right? When you come to him in faith, when you come to him sympathetic, he will meet our needs. This morning I want to close with a song, and I'm going to need some major help with it this morning, but it's Crown Him with Many Crowns, and I really wanted to close with this song, and it's been a couple weeks now that I've been thinking about it, and I was like, this is the one I want to close with. And so it's in your hymnal. I'll have the words there. Feel free to stand if you want. Feel free to sit if you want. But we're going to sing and close out with that this morning.